Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock, and it is my pleasure now as we continue our process leading up to the draft, bringing on people who know a lot more about these prospects than we do. Continuing this series is Drew Davison, who covers all things TCU for the Star Telegram. He joins us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Drew, thanks for doing this. How's quarantine life treating you?
It's treating me probably like everyone else. Ready to get out, get back out, but, you know, kind of doing what I can to do my part, so to speak.
So how is this going to affect the way that you cover the draft? Like, I'm not familiar with how, like, what the media guidelines are going to be for the draft. Is that something that's been made apparent to you yet at this point?
Not really. You know, covering, like, last year, for instance, I went out to LJ Collier's draft party, and he ended up being the 27th or 28th overall pick by the Seahawks. So this year the plan was to kind of go to Jalen Reagor's draft party, which, you know, he grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but, you know, clearly that's not going to happen. He's still one of the 58 players doing it. But, yeah, as far as myself, I'll just be watching from home probably for the first time since I was covering the Rangers, I guess, back in 2013.
Wow, so that'll be an interesting, socially distant way to take all of that in. Jalen Reagor is actually a perfect place for us to start, Drew, because he's a name that's really been gathering a lot of steam here in Philadelphia, potentially as a first-round pick. So can you kind of take us inside his career and who he is during the time that you've covered him?
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's a former NFL football player's son, Monte Reagor, who played up in Seattle. And was actually, you know, part of the coaching staff, I think, for a season or two under Andy Reid. But so he certainly got the bloodlines, got the genes, and just, you know, I always tell people he's a home run throw with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's kind of like, or he was TCU's version of Tyreek Hill, so to speak. You know, he can take the top off the defense. He doesn't need much space to make people miss. So, you know, for the Eagles to be, you know, I would feel comfortable. He can play outside. He can play inside, in the slot. He's, you know, got a huge vertical where he can, you know, go high point the ball and win the 50-50 ball, so to speak. So, he's a pretty complete receiver. The big knock on him this last season, was obviously his production. He didn't really have the numbers. Part of that's on him. You know, he did have some drops, but, you know, that's obviously something he's got to work on and focus on. And part of that was, you know, just quite simply TCU had a true freshman quarterback. He's got a lot of promise, but he went through kind of your typical growing pains as a first-year starter at the college level.
Well, Drew, we went through recently here in Philadelphia. A mutiny or a coup is a little bit of a strong word, but there was certainly a divide in the locker room between preferences for two quarterbacks. And one of the things that got my attention when I was reading about Reagor and his profile is one of the things that showed up on tape to people is the frustration at times with quarterback play. Is that something that you think is exclusive to Reagor, or was that something that generally throughout TCU's offense was kind of a growing pains situation?
Well, you know, it's kind of a two-part question because I think everyone on offense got somewhat frustrated because it was kind of a speed bump offense, so to speak. Just when things seem to get going well or them finding their groove, they hit a speed bump and kind of take two steps back. And it was just kind of that like that throughout the season. I mean, they looked great, you know, at Purdue 1 week and then struggled the next. So I think part of that was just growing frustrations, but – you know, if you go back to 2018 when Jalen Reagor had a 1,000-yard season, TCU had used four quarterbacks that season. So he was able to, you know, still produce and whatnot with the different quarterbacks. I think the other part of his frustration, I mean, he was expecting to be a Biletnikoff right up there, you know, as the top receiver in the country, and clearly the numbers, the stats weren't coming for the type of season he was envisioning for himself. So I'm sure, you know, part of the frustration lied within him as well as the offensive struggles.
Do you believe, just personally and from what you've seen from the teams that you covered and from what you're hearing, do you believe that he will be a first-round pick, or do you anticipate that he is a day-two selection?
I mean, me personally, I think he's going to be a first-round pick. I think one of the 32 teams, whether it's the Eagles, whether it's the Minnesota Vikings, whether it's the Raiders, going down the list, I think one of these teams is really going to fall in love with him and make him a first-round pick just because he's so dynamic at that level. Everyone's looking for playmakers. Everyone's looking for guys who can take it to the house with the ball in their hands. So, I don't think he's going to get taken over CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, but I certainly think late in the first round, some team's going to covet his skills enough where he's going to go in the first round.
Drew Davison joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, who covers TCU for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Drew, one of the other guys that has been garnering a lot of speed here, and I think noteworthy and justifiably so, Jeff Gladney is really climbing up a lot of people's cornerback boards. What did you make of Gladney during your time covering him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's certainly checked a lot of the boxes. When you're looking at, you know, cornerback prospects for the NFL, the thing with him, and he can't do anything about it. You know, some teams just like the longer corners these days, the taller corners, and he's not that. He's not 6'2". He's not, he doesn't check that measurable, so to speak. But he is on the field. You know, he held his own with some of the top receivers in the country. Obviously the Big 12 produces a lot, and he went against a guy like Jalen Reagor every day in practice. So he does check the boxes. He's got good speed. I've seen some scouts describe him as a junkyard dog, and just covering him, that bill fits because he's a willing tackler. He'd get involved. He'd get in the mix. He was feisty. He obviously is probably going to have to refine some of his technique, to avoid some penalties, but there's no question he should be playing on Sundays in my mind.
Moving on elsewhere on the defense, it's a really strong defensive tackle draft, it seems, and Ross Blacklock is one of the talented defensive tackles in this draft. But with that 2018 injury, how much did you see that kind of hurt what he was able to do on the field and potentially hurt his draft stock as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question mark, because as you guys know, I mean, players have to be available, right? If they're not on the field, they're not going to be able to produce. But Rockback, it did take him. He had an Achilles injury in 2018, like you said. And it took him a few, four, five, six games even with TCU last season before Ross Blacklock really looked like the player people remembered and people viewed him becoming at the college level. And if you look at his film, he's got some very explosive plays. He can get that inside pass rush, which is obviously coveted in the NFL, the three techniques, the under tackle position. So he also played a lot of nose for TCU. But he I think at the combine, he checked in at 285. I think his playing weight's probably more about 305. So he'll bulk up and probably need to in order to hold his own up there.
Drew Davison of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline discussing TCU draft prospects. I'm fascinated when there are multiple guys from similar positions that are going to be going in the draft and potentially selected, and that's true in a couple places with TCU. But let's start out running back with Darius Anderson and Shewo Alanilua. Like, what are teams getting if they're looking at each of those guys? What does one give that maybe the other doesn't?
I think those two are very different backs in terms of production on the next level. Starting with Shewo Alanilua, he's a taller running back. He's got good size. He's actually lined up some at tight end, H-back, so he's a versatile player out of the backfield. You know, I think he'd be a good short yardage guy, possibly even a fullback. When he was coming out of high school, Gary Patterson actually wanted him to play linebacker. But, of course, he preferred to stay at running back. So, certainly a good athlete, a good body, athleticism, he tests well. And I think a team will find ways to use him and get the most out of his skill set. Darius Anderson, on the other side, is kind of what was more the lightning to Alana Lewis Thunder, so to speak, more of a home run threat. He had a 92-yard touchdown run against Ohio State in 2018. He has battled injuries throughout, but he certainly has that burst, that speed, to get on the outside and make some things happen. So the question with him is pass protection and being able to be a three-down back at the next level. But both of those guys, different traits, but both should get opportunities to try and make an NFL roster.
And, Drew, the other position that I was talking about, offensive line in particular, we know that generally speaking, offensive tackles are rated more highly than offensive guards, except in, you know, some exceptions. But when I'm looking at Lucas Niang at 6'6", 315, when I was watching, I couldn't help but thinking that this guy is the real deal. What do you make of him playing on such a good offensive line at TCU, and can he hold his own even if those guys weren't there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he didn't give up a sack the last two seasons. Like you said, he passes the eye test. He's got the measurables. And from what I've heard, his rehab's going well. So the team will be very fortunate, you know, to get him, in round three or whenever he goes, because, you know, he's a guy who could theoretically, you know, compete for a starting job probably from day one and possibly win it. So he does check all the boxes, and I think he's going to, you know, have a nice long career, either as a starter at right tackle or even a swing tackle. But, you know, TCU's kind of produced a lot of tackles over the last few years under Gary Patterson, whether it's Marshall Newhouse or Marcus Cannon. So, I think Lucas Niang is just going to kind of keep that tradition going, so to speak.
Drew, I've been doing this with all of our guests, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us here. I've been trying to steal something from everyone so that when I have my Zoom socially distant draft party, I can sound really intelligent. So if there's something that I'm looking for, a nugget to make me sound like the smartest guy in the room when it comes to talking about TCU, what would you have me say to people?
Man, you're putting me on the spot. I'm really trying to think. When it comes to Rager, I think you can point to a lot of different things. But I think you just turned on that 2018 Baylor game and kind of watch him go to work. But that's not really, I don't think, the nugget you're looking for. You put me a little bit of a tight spot. Wasn't expecting that question. Although I will say, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, of course your Eagles fans are probably, Big V went to TCU, so obviously I forgot about that. He's obviously in the tackle line, but I think all of them, or especially the three potential first rounders in Rager, Blacklock, Gladdy, I think, you know, they should all, I'm a little biased, but it's hard to see. I think all of them should be pretty successful. I don't see any of them really flaming out wherever they land.
And, Drew, last one before I let you go, and sorry to put you on the spot there, but you handled it beautifully. Anyone that we did not discuss that you consider to be either a hidden gem, someone who is not getting enough glow or enough shine heading into the draft process that you anticipate having either a really good chance to make a roster or potentially even being a difference maker?
Yeah, I would say two guys kind of come to mind. One on offense, Anthony McKinney, who struggled the last 2 years at left tackle. He's still kind of a raw prospect. Didn't start playing until his junior year in high school. Went the JUCO route, but he kind of checks all the boxes that we talked about. Lucas Niang, just tall, looks the part. So I think he's got a chance if he lands in the right system. You know, obviously he'll be a project, but I think he could develop into an NFL player one day. And then on the other side of the ball, Shamik Blackshear was a really highly touted prospect coming out of high school, went to South Carolina, was a graduate transfer to TCU, hasn't really put up the numbers, but the athleticism's there. And, you know, I think he could get a chance at the next level, and if he does, he's also been working at blocking tight end, so I think he could be one of those undrafted guys no one's really heard about. that could, you know, possibly carve himself out a niche up there.
Well, Drew, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time. What are you working on now that people should be going and checking out?
Well, I'm kind of working on those three profiles, just kind of where they might land, the Jalen Reagor, Blacklock, but also doing a big picture, kind of the Big 12. This could be only the second time in the last 11 years it doesn't look like the Big 12 is going to have a top 10 pick. And when you look at the last 2 years, they obviously had the top overall pick with the Oklahoma quarterbacks and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. So not necessarily if it's a down year for the Big 12, so to speak, but certainly it's odd that they don't have a guy penciled in as a top 10 lock.
Very strange. Drew, thank you very much. Really appreciate the time, and hopefully we can talk to you up the road as well.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is. Drew Davison joining us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Interesting stuff on TCU, and he's right. It's kind of strange. You normally see, you know, depending on what happens with CD, right? But strange to not see Big 12 guys at the very, very top of the draft. You see, you know, pretty often, pretty consistently.
Well, especially, too, with Oklahoma being in the conference, how much they put out, you know, quarterback after quarterback after quarterback.
They're going to get another one drafted this year.
Sure.
But
won't be in the first round.
Will not be in the first round. But what if he is?
Well, then the world is topsy-turvy at
listen
that
to
point.
Me. We were scared about Jordan Love. What if New England takes him? What if they take Jalen Hurts and like...
I think New England's going to take Jalen Hurts at some point.
Oh, you do?
Just not in the first round. I think they might go in the second round. Yeah, or in the third round. I got to check their draft picks.
Oh, jeez. I'm not ready for this. Let's go to Charles in the Northeast next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Charles?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Joe?
Thanks for holding on, Charles. Appreciate it.
Oh, Joe, no problem. Joe, here's the thing, Joe, okay? Me and Chris disagree about Howie, and that's fine. I think Howie's a really good general manager. He doesn't. But Chris has the opinion of a lot of people that the Eagles have to trade up to get this impact wide receiver. And I disagree with that. I think it's a receiver-rich draft. And to me, I feel one of my guys is going to slip down to me at number 21 anyway. And if they don't, I'll trade back if I can't get a guy like Kenneth Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still going to get multiple receivers in this draft, Joe. And my another thing is, I don't think Lamb, Judy, and Ruggs are that much better than Jefferson, Rager, Mims, and other guys out there. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, my opinion is I think Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in this draft. To me, he checks all the boxes in terms of running routes, going deep, playing both receiver positions. He's the guy I really want the Eagles to get, to be honest with you. But it's a receiver-rich draft, and the Eagles need help at other positions. So I'm not willing to risk draft capital. But the receiver I might get either at 21 mm-hmm. or late in the first round or early in the second round, it could be as good as Ruggs Judy. Now, one other thing, Joe, about the billiard, him starting the year at left tackle.
Okay, yeah.
I think he's got to start at left tackle, and I don't want Jason Peters back. Listen, Jason Peters is a Hall of Famer. He's going to go in the Eagles' Ring of Honor, probably be a first or second ballot Hall of Famer, and we're grateful for what he did here. But it's over. When it's over, it's over. Dillard, the Eagles didn't draft him to sit. He's got to play. So to me, I'm telling him, listen, Andre, this is your job. You're the starting left tackle coming into the year. So that's the way I feel about it.
I agree. If they don't do that, I'm super uncomfortable, Charles. I feel really, really bad about his progression.
I agree with that, Joe, because listen, I'm a Howie guy. You know that. And I think Howie gets too much criticism from a lot of people. I think he's a top three general manager in the NFL. But this was one of his top picks. He's got to come in and play. And plus, I'm not willing to go with Jason Peters again because we know what's going to happen. He's going to come in. He'll play for three games. Then he'll be hurt again. We don't need that. So to me, Dillard's got to play, and he's got to start this year. And I actually think he's ready for it. I think Dillard's a great athlete, and I think he's going to be fine. So I think you tell him it's your job, and you go with him.
Well, Charles, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I hope that Dillard is ready to go. I hope that we can just laugh about this, and he's the starting left tackle, and everything's great. But I have to admit that the fact that what we've seen from Jason Peters the last couple of years has kept Dillard off the field, I don't love that. And I know that Dillard's come in and in spot duty he's done okay. Hopefully in extended duty he does even better than that. That'd be just a fantastic, you know, way for this to develop, because you know what? in a perfect world, sometimes your first round picks sit for a little while, learn from the best, and just, you know, kind of continue onward. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. So I expect your first round pick to be a starter and for you to know that, you know, sooner than the third or fourth year in. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic, and at Tyler Zuli. Okay, I wanted to get Charles in because he was hanging in there. Let's go back to Drew Davison for a second, who we thank again for joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Very, very high on Jalen Reagor. It sounds, Tyler, like a featured wide receiver, in as much as if you consider Tyreek Hill to be a feature wide receiver at the NFL level, which I think that I do, but especially in Kansas City, he kind of sees the same things from Reagor.
Well, and the thing, too, to be aware of, it's that conversation that we've had a couple of times. You can have the difference between the premier receiver and the number one. If Reagor plays out to be a number one and you get him at 21 or you get him traded back and you get an extra pick, that's a great pick. I'm totally cool with it because
Me too.
If you're implanting Tyreek Hill's skill set into this Eagles offense, it's an immediate upgrade, and it's an incredible upgrade.
I mean, I could not agree with you more. And I'm not saying that there are a bunch of Tyreek Hills running around the NFL. There are not. But the teams that have found guys who do Tyreek Hill type stuff in terms of being able to move around the formation a little bit, challenge people with deep speed, separation ability, that sort of thing. Those guys, those teams have the most innovative offenses, and those teams do the best jobs on offense. So it's something that I will certainly be keeping an eye on when we're looking at the draft here. So that kind of makes sense to me now to move on to our game. So coming up on the other side, Tyler and I are going to go down the wide receivers by grade. And then, of course, we'll say, would you take him? Would you not take him? Do you want him on the team? Do you not? Regardless of draft position. And then if you call in, you could potentially get one of these guys as well. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I can already tell I'm going to go head-to-head with Darius Jennings on Twitter if he's listening to the program. He says, my wide receivers in this order, Lamb, Judy, Ruggs, Jefferson, Reagor, Mims, Ayuk, Higgins, Hamler, Chenault, Pittman. We're going head-to-head, I think. So are you.
Oh, yeah, we may have an issue. If you're going head-to-head, me and that guy might have a huge issue.
All right, so let's do it this way. We're going to go and figure out, take them or leave them, on these wide receiver prospects. In the interest of time and boredom, let's assume that the top four in some order, and I know that Ruggs is your five, let's assume for the purposes of this conversation, Lamb, Judy, Ruggs, and Jefferson are the top four in the draft. Are you out on any of those individuals?
No.
I'm not either.
I'm out on the extent of a trade up, but yes. on the surface.
Player.
No,
yes.
Not at all.
Just the player. Okay. I think that I agree with that. So we'll move on. And we're going to be using the draft grade ratings from NFL.com. Just so that's where the order is coming from here. Michael Pittman is next from USC. Are you in? You know that I'm in. He's on my team.
I'm in.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk is next. From Arizona State. Are you in on Brandon Ayuk?
Out.
He's not on my team either. I am out on Ayuk. T. Higgins, are you in or out?
Out.
I'm also out on T. Higgins. Jalen Reagor, in or out on the player?
In.
Me too. I don't know if it's recency bias or not.
No, I don't think it should be.
True or not.
That 61% catchable pass rating is super misleading. I'd like to see what he can do with a functioning quarterback.
Laviska Shenault.
You don't have to ask.
I'm also in on Laviska Shenault. Now, this is a guy who has not been mentioned at all. And I mean literally never on this show. Bryan Edwards is the next highest rated wide receiver from South Carolina.
100% in.
You love this guy.
Love Bryan Edwards.
Okay.
He's not going to go until probably the third round.
Now, he's listed. He's next. He's on NFL.com. He's next.
That's shocking because I think he gets extremely underrated.
Yes. I think that I'm in on him as well. Considering he did damage, I get there were focus drops. He did damage with questionable quarterback play for a good
portion of his career. Yeah, Helsinki was not very good this year.
That's exactly right. He's rated ahead of the likes of our next wide receiver, Denzel Mims, who I do not have on my team.
In if it's a trade back.
Okay.
But not in at 21.
KJ Hamler is next. He's not on my team.
It's tough for me to separate the bias from the unbiased.
I know.
In with the caveat that he's pick 53.
Okay. Well, but see, we were just in on the player.
Okay, in. Fine, yeah, I'm in. All right.
Chase Claypool.
In.
I'm also in. Van Jefferson. I bet we part ways.
In.
Out.
In.
I'm out on Van.
Solid at everything.
Okay. All right. So just for perspective, cumulatively, we had like four outs, right? Something like that. We went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 deep.
We could go deeper.
We certainly can.
Because there's more that you haven't mentioned that I'm in on.
I know. Well, me too. But my point is this. When we do this exercise, if you believe us, which, you know, why would you? Except maybe our track record's better than Howie's. If you believe us, that's 10 out of 14 to be in on. What that says to me is that a trade-up seems like it would not be the best idea. Especially if we're going with the theory that anything that you can get is better than what you saw last year. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. No second-round pick for the Patriots, so no Jalen Hurts in the second round. Traded for Sanu. So I was thinking about nightmare scenarios. Not just like for the Eagles. I was thinking for the whole NFL. Do you have any off the top of your head? Because I think that there are some teams that are not properly positioned in the draft. One just drifted across my timeline that I was like, whoa, that's gross. DeAndre Swift to the Steelers with their second round selection. I was like, that's mega gross.
I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't think so either, but like, that's what people are bringing up. It's like, what would be better for you for fantasy football purposes? I mean, first of all, that's got to be near the top for anybody.
Sure.
DeAndre Swift turns into an easy first round
pick. With that offensive line, for sure.
Easy. But like, what other nightmares are there if a player slides to a certain spot?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, him sliding to Kansas City's not good either.
Yeah, it's bad.
Because I think that might be, and that's a legitimate option of it happening.
Yes.
I think that could really happen. I'll tell you one that I think might be a little bit underrated, and I've been kind of out on this particular running back, but I think it would really help this one team. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire ends up in Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm. Yes,
he is the exact type of running back that Tom Brady loves.
Exactly right.
I'm not huge on him, but that might be a dream fit for them.
Huge on him there, right? I mean,
sure.
That's what it is. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Yeah, that
also
would not be good.
Kenneth Murray going to Baltimore, like, that's just not fair.
Super gross. That my feeling for that, and I know that he didn't end up having the greatest career there or finish up, but like when C.J. Mosley went to Baltimore, I'm like, of course he did. Like another elite level. They passed on Dante Hightower so that C.J. Mosley, who's the better linebacker, could end up there. Man, oh man. A lot of good stuff going on here with the run-up to the draft. People are getting excited. Some people have called and said that they're getting nervous. I'm getting excited about the draft.
I can't wait.
Sports news. Especially because, you know, and it's not just because the one general manager told Ian Rappaport that, you know, everybody's mock drafts are wrong. But I have this all the time, and it's one of my terrible, terrible habits when it comes to sports. Like, it almost happened to me today. With Gronk joining Tom Brady, the of course like sensation, you know, where like after something happens, it was so obvious that it was going to happen. Like afterwards, like, oh yeah, well, duh. I can't wait for that sensation for the draft when we think that we have everybody's needs pegged and what they're going to do and who they're interested in and what the draft order is. and what the big board is set up to be like, then all of a sudden, teams just come in and flip the table. I mean, that's why I brought up Eason as a first-round pick. Because arguably the biggest arm in the draft. So maybe that's enough for people. We've talked about Henry Ruggs potentially being the top wide receiver off the board because speed is so obsessive for people. Crazy things are going to end up happening, and I love it. I'm just going to be a basket case until pick 21 when I figure out how it all affects the Eagles. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. DeAndre Swift, I'm trying to figure out if he's a first rounder or not. I feel like if he doesn't go in two spots, if he doesn't go to Miami or Kansas City, he might be in trouble as a first round pick.
I would agree with that. And I'm curious because I think that there are two running backs that fall into that same exact mold. And I'm curious if Miami at 26 likes him or Jonathan Taylor better.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issue with Taylor is that dude moved at the combine in a way that a lot of people did not anticipate any running back moving. Running under a 4.4 for a tailback. Like, people look at running backs, I think sometimes the same way they look at wide receivers, where it's like if a guy doesn't run sub 4.5, he can't help you. Like, there are lots of running backs that have game speed that run 4.5s or whatever, but they're, like, running through people and around people and change of direction and all that other kind of stuff. Jonathan Taylor running a 4.39 helps him out big time, and there were lots of people that already really, really liked him to begin with.
For sure, especially if you watch that offense that they run at Wisconsin. I mean, it's been the same offense since 1932. You know, when they wore those awful jerseys that they wore against Northwestern that one game this past season.
Man.
They were horrible.
See that?
But it's been that same offense. It's big bullies up front. It's a lot of trap stuff. It's a lot of, you know, attack blocking and cutting through the A and the B gap. And I think that for him to run a 4.3 under those circumstances with how he played, it can only do nothing but help him.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. He's going to be a high selection. And, of course, we've talked about J.K. Dobbins, who's probably going to go after those guys who might be just as good. And then Edwards-Helaire ending up in Tampa Bay to be the new, and some would say improved, James White for Tom Brady down there. Just absolutely gross. Absolutely gross. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Okay, coming up. We will take more of your phone calls. We do have a wide open phone line, 610-632-0975. At the top of the hour, if you miss Sal Palantonio and Tuesdays with Sal, with Mike Missanelli, we will re-air that for you in its entirety so you can catch up on what Sal had to say about one of the draft prospects that the Eagles have been tied to. So all of that and more is coming up. So keep it locked right here. Tyler Zuli's producing. We're together until 10 o'clock, so plenty more program still ahead. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, wide open phone line, 610-632-0975. All right. Tyler, we're going to do more wide receivers. Tyler's ready. I'm not sure that I am ready. The next one, in or out, is Lynn Bowden of Kentucky.
He is the type of guy that is going to do a lot for one particular team. I don't think that team is the Eagles. So in if I'm a specific franchise, out for the Eagles.
I need to see so much more. I've seen like the smallest sliver of his stuff. I have not studied him at all. I just know that he played wide receiver a little or quarterback a little bit. He bounces all over the place. Randall Cobbs is his player comp, which I think is like incredibly flattering to any wide receiver. I don't know enough about him to make an in or an out statement on that.
Yeah, I think that do everything type guy is going to help him tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. And there's a reason I set a specific franchise. I would be thrilled to watch him line up in 17 different positions with Lamar Jackson.
Sure, yeah. That makes sense. Or the Saints.
I think it would be crazy to watch him on the field with them.
Yeah, I think these. I need to know more. I don't know enough about him. I know enough about this guy, Gabriel Davis from UCF.
I think this one's kind of back and forth for me. I think I'm out on him.
Think you're out?
I think so.
Okay. A deep threat is what he's supposed to be, who ran close to a 4.6. I don't love that. That's something that makes me feel straight. The one thing that he's good at that I really, really like is those combat catches, like a hands catch guy. I don't think that he's going to run good enough routes to get away from people, and I also don't think that the speed is going to be up to snuff, so I am also out on Davis. However, we're going according to the NFL.com rankings. Antonio Gibson is next from Memphis.
I'm not necessarily convinced he's not a running back.
Uh-huh. 6 foot, 228. Yes.
I am going to say in, because I think he can do both.
I think that there is going to be some room for, and I meant to bring this up with Drew Davison earlier talking TCU players. I think that the Jalen Samuels, like H-back, tight end, receiving back, moonlighting wide receiver thing, people have uses for that. Curtis Samuel is another one of those guys, like not quite sure what to do with him, but he can do a lot of stuff. I think so. I think you're right. I think the pro comp that I read for him actually was Buck Allen, so who's a running back. So there you go. Who knows? Isaiah Hodgins from Oregon State. I've heard you talk about this.
In.
Guy. Yeah, I've heard you talk about
He's
that.
He's got great red zone possession numbers, and he played with Jake Lutton, who was good but not great.
Mm-hmm.
In He's on my, Isaiah Hodgins.
He's my second favorite red zone guy behind Pittman. Because this guy's 6'4" as well.
Sure.
So I think that that works.
You're really high on Pittman.
I love my
Pittman. Your Pittman is my Chenault.
Yeah. But I also like Chenault, too. My top five is... we'll do it on draft night, but it's going to be strange. Now, of course, here's your favorite player in the draft besides LaVisca Chenault. Antonio Gandy-Golden from Liberty is the next rated player.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
He's not my guy anymore. Like he's
You're
still a
now.
Guy. He's still one of my guys, but he is not my late round guy anymore. But in still.
You're still in?
Yes.
I think I'm out. I think the Liberty thing is getting to me. But anytime that a guy's like pro comp is Devontae Parker from Liberty, I'm like, huh, would be worth a late round draft.
Sure,
pick.
Why not?
But now I don't know. So let's skip ahead because, you know, we have been talking about how deep this draft is. And I can only assume that you're not up on Syracuse football enough to be talking to me about Tristan Jackson.
No, there's one Syracuse player I've got for you.
Okay, who is
it? And it's Alton Robinson, defensive end.
Devin Duvernay.
100% in.
I also like Duvernay a lot. Tyler Johnson, who is rated way below everybody.
That is my new guy. So in on Tyler Johnson.
Gandy-Golden was so last year.
He was like, actually, no, that's not true. He was so last week.
And Johnson is today.
And Johnson is today. Because the minute that Johnson had any kind of capable quarterback play in Tanner Morgan, he succeeded.
Oh, man. That's just glorious stuff. And then Ohio State's got a ton of guys. Like, they've got a lot of wide receivers people are talking
Maybe
about.
I just have an issue. Maybe I just have, like, this way over evaluation of all of these receivers. Because I'm in on KJ Hill, too.
Yeah, I knew that was... Yep, you knew it. That was going to be next. And Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Out.
You're out on Donovan
out.
Now. You changed your mind.
Yes. You were in before? I've looked further into it. If he's, like, a fifth-round pick, I'm cool with it. But I'm not spending a third-round pick on him.
Now out. Wow. Former five-star recruit and top-rated receiver out of high school?
Yes, I've changed my opinion.
I'm not saying that he is slow, because obviously not. Ran a 4.48 at the combine, but he's like the anti-CD Lamb for me, where I was stunned that CD Lamb ran so slow, because to me, watching him, he played so fast. Peoples-Jones, I was like, he ran a 4.48, did not play fast, as far as I was concerned. But he's another one that we haven't heard a lot about. in terms of people saying yes. Point is, there's a lot of receivers in this draft. So people saying trade up, I get that you want to get one of the absolute top flight guys in terms of who's rated highly on the boards. There are going to be players that can really, really help you here. And I do think that that matters. I think that makes a difference when you're trying to make these decisions about whether to trade up. How good do you need to be? You want to be great, obviously. But if you can get it done by being great at other positions and just improving to the point that you have NFL-level talent on the field at some of these others, not even counting the fact, we haven't even mentioned DeSean Jackson. How many games do we need to get from DeSean Jackson for things to work? 11? 12?
Yeah, I was going to say 10.
Right? If you get more than 10, that's good. If you get anything whatsoever, I know that you don't think so. I know that lots of people don't think so. If you get anything at all from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as a third receiver or a fourth receiver, then you're kind of cooking with gas if you get one or two of these guys.
Well, and you know my take on him. I don't trust him, but it goes back to that one of two things again. You know what I mean? And I refuse to believe that he's that bad. Prove me right again, and I am 100% out. But
uh-huh.
I don't know if I trust him enough to put him back on the field.
Even like up this upcoming year?
Yeah.
Wow. Has to work his way back in. Makes sense. Tony in South Jersey's next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Tone?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for the time on the show.
Welcome.
I just want to talk about the draft, you know. I know everybody wants to either stay at 21 or people are scared to move up and give up draft equity to go get that guy. We're right on the cusp. We're right at 21. We're around the top four wide receivers. It's like, do you want to go get one of the top four or settle for the bottom, you know, the bottom people in the draft? People say how deep of the draft it is, but I don't know. I think if you're on the cusp of getting someone that's top dog, it just makes too much sense to let it loose, you know?
I do. I get what you're saying, Tony. So the question becomes, like, how much of a move is too big? Are you talking about moving into the top 10, or are you talking about if, like, the fourth guy is sliding down, moving up from, like, 21 to, like, 17, 18?
Yeah, no. I would say, I mean, if Jefferson, if it's, like, 18 and the top three are gone and Jefferson's left out of the top four, maybe they make a little move like that. But I was saying, like, the whole go up to, like, 13,
uh-huh.
14. It depends when these guys go. But I believe it's possible, you know, if you can go get someone like Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, or even Ruggs or Jefferson, it doesn't make sense to either trade back. Like, I hear people saying, like, people want a linebacker so badly, and run defense is not where we struggled. We were number third. We were three in run defense last year. It's corner, safety, secondary, mm-hmm. what we need on defense. Everybody wants to just unload on the first round linebacker, which I get it, but if it's the wide receiver draft, you gotta go for it.
So, Tony, like, which guys weigh more to you in terms of the trade up then? Like, which ones do you value more highly?
I mean, see, I'm watching him right here. CeeDee Lamb. I would uh-huh. say CeeDee Lamb's probably the number one, where I would say is the most polished and has the most upside to me.
I've been told that he's the favorite. I've been told that he's the one that the Eagles like the most.
Yeah, see, and I love to hear that. I love to hear it because people love that 4.2 speed, you know, what people see in Henry Ruggs and stuff.
Yep.
But that's, like, I don't know. That doesn't always translate to the field, you know? I mean, he's fast and all like that, but the upside with someone that's 6'2", built like, and to see what CeeDee Lamb turned Jalen Hurts into, you know?
Because well, I mean, I don't think, and Tony, thanks for the phone call, man. The good news with CeeDee Lamb, too, is that I don't think that he's a completely finished product yet either. I think that there's room on the frame to grow. I think that there's some stuff that he can do better to become even more effective. And by the way, when it comes to Henry Ruggs, you know, even though I'm not one of the guys who's in love with Ruggs, I think that it's lazy to lump him in with, like, and I'm not saying that you just did this, but I think it's lazy for people to lump him in with, like, the, standard fast and can't catch guys. You know, like, there's lots of those guys that come out every single year. Ruggs is a good catcher. He's a hands catcher and everything else. The track record is something that concerns me. The, you know, impact at the next level concerns me beyond just having the speed. The release matters to me. Like, there are just things that I don't like about Ruggs relative to the other three. I would have Ruggs rated the fourth out of the four, and I think that his value is at the one or the two out of the four top receivers. That's why Henry Ruggs doesn't end up on my team in pretty much any draft. I would take him, though. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. 76ers one is right. When looking at wide receivers, linebackers, safeties, and running backs, Eagles need to look at how fast they play in games, not how fast they run in the T-shirt and spandex Olympics in Indy. In-game speed and agility is what counts. It's absolutely right. Or else you're just the Raiders again. 610-632-0975, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.